All right, everyone, welcome back to the Fundamentally Sound Podcast. Episode 14 is officially going to be in the books here in about an hour as we're starting it right now. Your host, as always, Riggs, Ben. Ben, what's going on, man?
Nothing. I just thought of an idea. I think while we still can do it, every episode that for the number, it's 14, we got to like dedicate the podcast to someone who's a famous number 14.
I like that a lot.
But we can only do it for so long, so we better jump on it quickly.
Yeah.
But who's a famous 14? It's kind of a weird number.
Michael Kidd Gilchrist.
No, we're not going to do it based off just...
I'm just saying that he's probably the most famous recent number 14.
And this is why we have listeners. Because someone will have something good for us. I could do probably...
We're talking just college number 14.
Too. Yes, we're going to do just college. 20 through 25 will be really easy.
That's going to be incredibly easy. Everybody wore 21.
22 goes to my man Jay Will.
22 goes to my man Randolph Childress. Okay. The reason I wore 22, who has the greatest move in basketball history.
What's the greatest move in basketball history?
When he crossed up Jeff McInnes in the 95 ACC championship game and then gave him the wave when he was on the floor to come get him and drilled a three.
This is exactly what I'm talking about. So over the weekend, I know you saw I did the Barstool at the Cell.
Yeah.
With Redline Radio and Dave and Carl. Have you even met them yet?
Not in person. I've met him.
Yeah,
through, like,
yeah, yeah. So they were like, how's Riggs? Like, you know, what's he like? Like, how is he like on the podcast? And I was like, yeah, he's a guy where you literally ask him, give me a name of a player on 2003 Clemson, and he'll know somebody. Like that is the type of guy Riggs is. He is the stat guy. I know every player on every college basketball team guy. It's thoroughly impressive.
I have a weird photographic memory. Like, I've been that way. Like, I can honestly say there are very few times I've ever studied in my life because I just remember things. Like, I'm not one of those people that has to sit there.
How many people of us are jealous right now?
Oh, I know. I mean, it's like, it was perfect for just, like, hanging out with a bunch of bees in college.
Like,
I don't need to be Dean's List. I just need to like be normal.
Yeah, you just gotta graduate.
Right. That's the thing. If you're in college listening to us, grades are irrelevant. Just do enough to like not be thoroughly embarrassed and graduate.
Hey, hang on. You can't say that because someone will take that too seriously, and they may not be as smart as you and I, and just like. Stop trying completely and think,
be self-aware. Like, we're both self-aware. Be self-aware.
Yeah, but college kids aren't very self-aware.
I mean, like, if you... All right. College kids are idiots. Like, we were all in college, we were all idiots. Whenever you're in college, you're an idiot, and you're supposed to be an idiot. But just be a self-aware idiot. Like, if you really think you're going to fail, and you can't, like, just not study for a test, study. But... if you can, like, skate by with, like, a C on that one, and someone calls you and says, hey, you want to go out tonight? Go out that night.
Yeah, go out that night.
Always go out. Unless
I'm totally with you.
Or if you're going to be, like, a doctor or some shit like that could save my life one day, please, like, don't go out and help.
I was just going to tell a story, but I don't want to get under investigation.
Under investigation by the NCAA?
Yeah.
I'm all for breaking rules.
I know. It's not really breaking rules.
It would help
it's
the pod.
Kind of, it's yeah, right? Yeah. Get everything I did under investigation. Perfect.
What would you do if I led the investigation? What would you do if like tomorrow morning you wake up and I already have
a blog
posted and it's just like me leading the investigation?
I have excerpts from a document back in 2014.
I mean, if this gets dumped into the NCAA, I mean, that could really help the podcast.
100%. I'm all about the podcast, yeah. But...
Help. You've always been a team player.
I'm a team player, and I always have on the court and off the court, but hell no, this is not happening.
All right, just text me later.
We'll talk off air, and then when you really hate me, you can...
You know when you can tell me is when you're in Cincinnati later this year, hanging out at my house when we are doing what's looking like it's going to be in the books, a live show with they're my guys. I've met them a couple times, and they're soon to be your guys, Queen City Exchange in downtown Cincinnati. Keep an eye out on them. It's an awesome bar. I mentioned it last time. I'm going to plug them again. They're my guys. It's a stock market bar. Prices fluctuate up until 9 o'clock when Ohio rules say you have to have firm pricing. But it is going to in the works. We've talked back and forth. So, again, Queen City Exchange, keep an eye out for in-season, a live show with your two boys here, and then watching games and drinking.
Yeah, I saw pictures. I looked at their website.
It's awesome. And, it's absolutely awesome.
You know, we had some Twitter conversation. I had some Twitter conversation with them back and forth. Super, super good, you know, place to watch games and just have a good time. I worry about the price fluctuation. I feel like that's way past my level of expertise of being able to play the stock market.
Got
to
bring someone who didn't go out with us in college who has the 4-0 to tell us what to buy.
Yeah, someone who actually didn't just escape with a degree somehow. Gosh, I want to tell that story so bad.
It's going to come out sooner or later.
So bad. Because it's not – no, it's bad. I can't say it. I can't say it, dude. I want to say this story so bad.
This might be the biggest, the best tease in podcast history.
It is. It is.
People, tune in next week. We're ending the show right now. Tune in next week in case Ben drops this story.
Man, like I'm trying to think. Unfortunately, like this has become a platform where we have like regular listeners and like writers who like listen to this. Right. Like this I can't. And it sucks because it's a great story.
It might be like a group text type thing.
Yeah, no, it totally.
You know what we need to do is come up with a contest for the season, and we'll let like the top five winners in on the story.
I like it.
So let's get right into it. Again, our guys, Queen City Exchange, they are on Twitter. They're in downtown Cincinnati, like I mentioned, and you can find them on Twitter at QC Exchange. Again, that's Queen City Exchange in Cincinnati. Keep an eye out for some live shows when the season starts. I know it's only June, but news broke today. I blogged about it. Me and you had a couple texts. We were both kind of busy today running around. Season might be starting a little earlier, not this year, but potentially for 2018-19. There was I want to call it a rule change, if you want, it's for lack of a better word.
So you
season 3 days earlier. So
you
start on a Tuesday.
You make
Friday.
Me kind of like mad when it comes to stuff like this. Like just because you're such a junkie that like 3 days, are you kidding me? You think this is a big deal?
I don't think it's a big deal. I just think it's a smart move.
No, like you got me all excited. I was like, oh yes, they're going to,
but here's,
they're
why,
gonna...
here's why I think it's a big move is it puts college basketball in the spotlight. Like earlier, like when you start on that Friday, you lose everything. That Indiana Kansas game was amazing last year. And 9 hours after the game ended, it was college game day on ESPN. No one gave a shit about basketball anymore.
No, I agree. I agree from that standpoint. But I was like, yes, it's going to start in October. And I'm excited.
Right.
So until I read the blog, like I went throughout the day after you told me that. I was like, this is great. This is exactly what I was hoping for. Like, we need to stretch the season out. We need more people watching. There's so much good potential for content earlier in the season.
But don't you think it should go the opposite way, though, kind of away from football? Like, if you want to stretch the season out and have more eyes, don't you think maybe, like, starting it in the season in December and doing, like, a May Madness instead of a March Madness helps with that more than starting it in October where it's, you know, really
that's
in hard, football
that's
season?
That's hard of the football season, yeah.
Right.
I don't know, because, I mean, March Madness is March Madness, and you don't want to change that.
Right, but, so I mean, what's the difference between April Madness or March Madness? It's just the name. Like, the NCAA tournament's still the NCAA tournament.
I don't know, Reeks. I mean, the next weekend is the Masters. Then you got spring training, like, where pitchers and catchers report.
Yeah, but, I mean, To me, baseball is such a regional thing, like a huge regional sport. More people will tune in to the NCAA tournament, hands down, than like the second week of the regular season in baseball.
I don't know, dude. Like, it's just another audience to compete with, and more people's focus are turning to that. It's a national America pastime.
But it's less of an audience than football. I mean, football is the biggest audience.
I get that. I'm just saying, I wouldn't change what works for college basketball, and that's March Madness. I can't believe you even said April Madness. That was like,
I'm just throwing out. I'm just spitballing. Like,
I know you are, but
because again,
I hope you're like, I want to unspitball that because that sounded so gross, and I can't even think about it. That would change everything. Like,
well, what about May Madness? You keep the double
heads. No, May Madness is great. I like that. But March Madness is, you're on spring break with your family, like at some resort watching the games. Like, that is March Madness at a T.
Yeah, I mean, to me, more March Madness, well, I it's a double-edged sword. I like it. I love it and hate it at the same time when St. Patrick's Day falls on one of the first Thursday or Friday of the NCAA tournament.
Oh, that's terrible.
Like, it all depends, like, what you're looking for that day.
It does, but there's no way, if you're a big Irish guy, like, there's no way you're going to be competent watching those games.
Right. Like, I've been in both boats, and it's not fun. It's fun and not fun at the same time.
Yeah, because you want to enjoy the games, and you do. But you're just one of those people in the Buffalo Wild Wings commercials just yelling, yeah, in the background.
Right.
Because you saw the big moment. You didn't watch the entire game.
Yeah, and then, like, the next morning you're sitting there going, wait, what the hell happened in that game again?
Yeah, and that happened to me this year. So I don't want that. I don't want it to happen. And it only happened to me because I got let off work early, and that's just a bad idea during March Madness. Because adrenaline mixed with drinking mixed with March Madness is just a combo of not remembering things and not fully enjoying the tournament. But luckily, from what I do remember, this Thursday and Friday was severely disappointing, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was – well, there just weren't the upsets. There were a lot of close games. There just wasn't the – A, you didn't have any of the buzzer beaters, and B, you didn't have the major upsets like we saw so many other times.
Yeah, right? It was – like, but the ratings were up. We talked about this. The ratings were up.
Yeah, the ratings were up.
For the tournament as a whole.
And, I mean, you had good games. Like, the tournament started with Princeton-Notre Dame.
That was a good game. Right. But the good games were after that, for sure. Like, the Saturday and Sunday, and then getting to Kentucky, UCLA.
I mean, there's the second weekend we started seeing the buzzer beaters when there weren't any buzzer beaters the first weekend, and then you had, you know, back-to-back Wisconsin and Kentucky losing on buzzer beaters.
I honestly wish that would have happened to us now in the podcast, because I feel like now that we know each other a little better, it would have been a way more entertaining show.
I was so drunk for that show.
I was outside my mind that show. I'm scared to go back and listen to it because it probably didn't even make any sense.
I came right from the bar after Luke May hit that shot in podcast.
Luke May!
That was not fun. I'll just never forget my buddy. We were at a bar like 20 minutes away, and he drove me, and the car ride was just silent. He just goes, I'm sorry. It was like, that was it. I was like, that's kind of perfect.
I'm sorry. That is perfect.
That kind of like...
That's the right kind of buddy.
Right, right. Like, he understood.
He's your guy. He's got to be one of your, like, main guys for understanding how hurt and severe that must pierce your heart.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, like, he played basketball in high school, you know, went to Dayton. So, he's familiar with sport. It's not like a guy who's just like, oh, yeah, like, the NCAA tournament's, like, big. We're like, that sucks, right? It's like, yeah.
was that your impression of the coverage? The combination between average, casual and average.
Yes, that was my impression of that guy. Back to the original topic, though, of the season starting earlier.
I like it for
now
the season the season starting and people are going to talk about it on national radio, SportsCenter,
and the other thing I
Wednesday,
like is
Thursday, more it, hype into Friday.
And it added flexibility. Like when I was reading more about it, what part of the plan is to add flexibility so, you know, the Power Five schools aren't having home football and basketball games on the same day.
Oh, for sure.
That's part of the goal is adding this flexibility, which is huge because then you're not making your fans make a decision. You know,
and for travel too, exactly.
For travel, for anything like that. And then the other thing it is if it starts earlier, they want to mandate that the Power Five schools, again, there would be 3 days during winter break where there is no athletic related activities for the basketball players. And that's something I want your opinion on is, I guess, A, when you were at Wisconsin, what was your guys' winter break like? And then B, what's your thought of having those 3 days mandatory from the NCAA of no basketball related activities?
Dude, props to you. That's like a really good question and one that I'm very excited to answer because I think people will be interested in hearing from, you know, what it's like when you're playing. What is that winter break like?
Right.
It is like prison. It is like prison, dude. You get to the cold. I'm just gonna speak from like my Wisconsin perspective, so I'm gonna throw all Wisconsin lingo in. We get to the Kohl Center 9 a.m. Right, you get ready for lift. You lift from like 9:30 to 10:30. Then you go to the training room and work on your bumps and bruises. Then you eat a quick lunch, and then you got practice from 1 to 3:30. And then you go ice down. And then next thing you know, it's 5 o'clock. And you walked in the Kohl Center when the sun just came up, right. And you walk out and you don't even see the sun. It's the most depressing thing in the world, and you're trapped there. They can keep you there as long as they want. There's no time restriction. There's no school you got to worry about. So they're all just pumped about, you know, getting in front of you and helping you work on whatever. And it's like you just pray for a day off. One day we went 7 days straight of that. They gave us a day off, and, like, I've never seen a locker room so happy in my life. We were playing Celebration by Kool and the Gang, dancing like a bunch of idiots that, like, we're just so happy to enjoy sunlight and not being trapped in a dungeon.
So when you say winter break, are you talking legit from – because I know it's a little different, too, for the regular student winter break compared to the student-athlete winter break is because you guys do have games during – breaks too,
but then being a college basketball player kind of like sucks from a student perspective,
right.
Meaning football players they get like their different times off,
right,
and
like you're either going
all the
to
other
bowl
sports
game or you're done,
exactly. So if you think about a college basketball player, Thanksgiving tournaments,
yep.
That's a whole week off of school for students. Christmas break, that's like a month off for students most of the time.
Yeah, it's like three weeks or so.
Spring break, don't get it. You literally have all the breaks.
Or if you do a spring break, you're upset because you missed the NCAA tournament.
I'm gonna jump around a little bit because this is just perfect conversation leading into when my junior year when we lost to Ole Miss. That was right on spring break. It was like. It was that Thursday, so I was good buddies with Jared Bergen and Dan Fahey, two of the seniors. We hopped on a flight the next day to Vegas and tried to just drink away and gamble away our sorrows. I got on a heater, like up $7,000.
Jeez.
And went to like
blackjack?
Blackjack and roulette, mostly roulette. I was like on a crazy run on the outside. It was stupid. You know, and then next thing you know, we're going over to a strip club and just like living it up. And I'm glad we did because that sucked. I will tell this story too. After the Ole Miss game, I went right to the bar and I got wasted. Absolutely wasted. I got on the team plane. I was drunk.
I feel like that's not abnormal though.
Scary though, dude. As as a junior coming
back.
Yeah,
you still have a year.
I still have a year, and I played 36 minutes a game, and I was wasted. I think I spent the whole flight talking to the flight attendant up front. And they were probably like, what the heck is going on? This guy plays on the team.
Right.
Yeah, no, I, like this bartender made these unbelievable, like, I don't even know how to describe them. I'm gonna ask Dan and JD Wise, two of my
What
walk on.
time
But
was your game against Ole Miss? I'm trying to remember.
I
Was it
think it
a,
was in the morning.
so you guys didn't have a flight right after? Like, you guys had the
No,
night?
we flew out at like 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock the next morning?
No, the next,
Or
like that
that
day.
night?
So like we're done at one. You know, you go to the hotel and you got time to kill. And I went
Oh,
like,
you went
I
to, like,
mean,
the hotel bar?
No, we went to a dive
Oh, you
bar,
went
like
to a dive
some
bar.
Irish
Where
dive
were you?
bar,
Where was that game at?
Kansas City.
Oh, okay.
And so I just, I can't even explain how drunk I was. And when you're that drunk and you get on an airplane, that was my first time being drunk on an airplane. I was like in the happiest place I've ever been.
Getting drunk on an airplane is an interesting experience. I've gotten blasted when I was like 23 and went to Vegas with all my college friends. We just got shit canned. We had my one buddy's worked for like a, he's a CPA, worked for a small organization, and they gave him approximately 120 free drink coupons for the plane for all of us.
What?
Yeah, like they just had, like the owner just flew nonstop and just had all these free drink coupons, and he's just like, "Here, you guys have a good time."
That is amazing.
I felt really good when I got off the plane,
I
and
don't
then I got
fly
broken
well.
up with
I
by my
mean,
ex-girlfriend and moved out on when I was in Vegas via text message.
oh, well, at least you're in a good place to get over it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't really fly the best, so any chance I can, I usually try and drink, and it helps. It just helps me so much for some reason.
Right. All right. So back to winter break. Did you hear some schools, some coaches have like a routine every winter break? Like, I know, obviously, just hearing about it all the time from Kentucky. There's Camp Cal. I think Shaka has something similar. A lot of similar things like that. Did Bo have anything that's kind of reserved for winter break?
Yeah, exactly what I said. Like
Just was it, was that it?
just like over control everything and don't let them out of your sight and make their lives miserable. I mean, and then my sophomore year, we lost 3 games in a row. We were 1-3 to start the Big Ten after like being like, after being like 9-2. I kid you not, I thought the world was ending. Jordan Taylor wouldn't even talk to any of us. He literally wouldn't speak to us.
Just so mad.
He didn't speak to us. I'm not even, it was the freakiest thing ever. He didn't speak to us. Could you imagine being around people that long of a time and not like him not like answer your questions?
What was your worst winter break practice during your 4-year career? Not worst in the sense of, oh, I played bad. Worst of, this is the worst day of my life. I'm going to die. I hate basketball. I hate Bo Ryan. I hate Wisconsin.
That, did I ever tell you I almost transferred?
I don't know.
It was that year. That year was so up and down.
Well, yeah, you mentioned, I think early, I think in one of the podcasts, like 3 or 4, you mentioned about how you were frustrated because you went to Wisconsin as a freshman. You weren't playing much. Obviously, not what you were used to, and you debated transferring.
Actually, yeah, I mean, obviously thoughts go through your head then, but
right,
you still,
right.
You know, you're still young, you're going to give it a chance. It was my sophomore year because...
No, I'd never heard the sophomore year story then.
Yeah, no, I mean, like the first 5 games, I was a leading scorer off the bench, averaging like 14, 15 points a game. Obviously pretty easy to do against Southeastern Louisiana State,
right.
But still impressive nonetheless to come off the bench and like
yeah, it's still numbers.
Average 14, 15
right.
Points a game. I was also just playing kind of wild and free, a little out of... Bo's madness or method of madness.
To swing.
No, I was just kind of running around, you know, looking for opportunistic moments. You know, and I went 7 for 7 against UNLV for 3.
That helps too.
I was 8 for 9 from the floor, 7 for 7 from 3, 25 points. Like, that's pretty big for someone coming off the bench. And then I hit 7 threes against BYU to win the Chicago Invitational in the Thanksgiving tournament. To it was weird. This goes to the worst place to play in the Big Ten story that we talked about. We went to Penn State and I was puking and shitting my brains out. I've never been sick like that in my life. I don't ever get sick. And I was so sick that I woke up and I couldn't go to shoot around. And our game was at night and I had all day to lay in bed. I didn't eat a single thing. I had like two sips of Sprite and I went to the game and I played like, but I've never felt or looked worse in my life. And everyone told me that, but I just wanted to show like that I would do anything to
Right.
play and not lose my role. Talk about an all time backfire.
Yeah, it never works out that way.
Like to the point where like I'm Mr. Go in the game, you get 3 minutes, you don't score or do anything, out.
I
So like,
I've played one game.
Isn't that crazy?
I
like,
played
I,
one
I just
game
don't
this
get
year.
coaches.
My junior year in high school, we were in the district title game, and I came down with the same thing you did. I couldn't. I was in the bathroom during warm-ups and during like I had to sprint back out for my name to get called during lineups.
That's oh.
It's the worst. Like it's I will give credit to anybody who goes out there now. Like after like experience it, obviously, not talking Division One, but talking high school district championship against guys who played at Penn State and against guys who played at smaller D1 schools and things like that. It's like going out and playing against
I tell you what,
it's anyone that can run around like that, it's a miracle.
Flu game, myth.
Yeah, he was hungover.
Myth. There's no
you play
freaking
hungover,
way.
You can't play with the flu.
Yeah, there's no way. Like I had the worst bug in the world, and I went out there and I was just out there. I was able to not screw up, but I didn't do anything good either.
Right, and you're just staring. Like you can't.
Yeah, you can't
you
process
can't figure out
anything.
Anything. No, which is just not fun. Like
no, I literally stood in the corner and somehow got two open shots. And then on defense, it was just follow your guys.
Right, just pray that you're still like guarding the guy you're supposed to.
Yeah, like yeah, no, I mean you obviously had that experience because
yeah, and ironically enough, the guy I had to guard went to Penn State.
Ironically enough,
like it all goes back to Penn State.
Yeah, so how do I do this a lot to us? I'm sorry. Get us back on track because I was going somewhere before I rambled off into this story.
You were talking about how you were going to transfer or how like you
yeah, but before that we were on winter break stuff.
Yeah, I was asking you
my sophomore year.
Yeah,
yeah,
the
yeah.
Worst practice.
I don't know if it's so hard to remember specific practices, but I can remember getting ready for practice, and that was the moment when I was sitting in the athletic training room, and Jordan Taylor was sitting there with his hood on, hating the world, hating us, and we were 1-3, and it was the dead of winter break where I was like, I am miserable.
Right.
That was the moment for me because like Jordan was the heart and soul of us, and he probably had something more going on, than just basketball. He was upset because he was hurt too. He hurt his ankle. He was an All-American the year before, and probably regretting not leaving. Like, there's all those things going through his mind, and it was just miserable. It was miserable.
It is. I'm watching, ironically enough, too, as we talk, I'm watching FC Cincinnati versus Chicago Fire in the U.S. Open, and Chicago's cheating, of course.
What channel?
ESPN.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's
Are
huge
winning?
In Cincinnati. It's 0-0.
Maybe we'll get a little sidebar commentary on some Chicago Fire.
I know.
Cincinnati.
Going
or is
back,
it over?
No.
What happened?
Well, it's the U.S. Open, so it's 0-0 at the end of 90, so they have to go to extra time.
Does this mean there's going to be a winner no matter what?
Yes. Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Hopefully we get the penalty kicks.
So,
going back
to winter breaks and everything like that, I think it's smart to give the 3 days, and I know this is – I say this from a fan perspective / not a coach, because I think anybody who's not a coach would probably agree with this. Maybe some players who are in a rhythm too, but
mm-hmm.
getting 3 days of just not basketball-related activities where, A, you can just hang out with your friends, whether they're on the team or off the team. Maybe you're close enough to go home. Maybe you're lucky enough your parents can come out and visit.
It's no basketball activity at all.
No athletic related activities.
I freaking love it.
Yeah, I think it makes sense.
The kids need it.
And
they're kids.
It's only 3 days. Like, you're not saying a week. You're not saying, you can give off a Friday, Monday, Tuesday type thing.
I forgot to mention we practiced on Christmas night.
Ugh.
All 4 years. I'm driving to Madison to go to practice on Christmas 4 years in a row.
That's brutal. That's like another thing you do too. It doesn't have to be three consecutive days. You know, practice Monday, take off Tuesday, practice Wednesday, take off Thursday, take off Friday or something like that.
Yeah, and I get it. Like, it's their job and they got to control everything. And we prayed that we didn't have, when the schedule came out, a game close to Christmas. But it still didn't matter.
Yeah, yeah. So it was – we both agree. Moving it to Tuesday, it's not a huge change, obviously, but it's a smart change, and there are changes that kind of coincide with it.
Yeah, no, I reacted the way I did because I was hoping when you told me about it, that it was a topic. I was like, oh, that's awesome. We get to start earlier. And then it was 3 days, and I was kind of brought back to life. And now that we've talked about what it does for college basketball, I really like it in terms of getting people engaged. That's why everything is on Monday night. The NCAA championship game's on Monday night. The Super Bowl is on Sunday night, but that should be turned into a national holiday where you get Monday off. College football national championship game is Monday. Anything else I'm missing?
Well, obviously baseball, NBA, MLB, you have series. So that's,
yeah, it's just – it's all different. But they do their best to try and pick a night – where they're going to get a good market, when the Cavs miraculously won a game, so Warriors would get the game on Sunday night.
Sunday game, yeah, it's one where it just makes sense. Like, it just makes sense to play on a Tuesday, not a Friday, because like I said, college basketball has gotten better year over year too. Of the games that they have to open the season, like last year it was, like I mentioned, Kansas, Indiana, and Arizona, Michigan State. Those are four names everybody knows. Those are two games everybody will watch.
Yeah, it's almost like they're setting themselves up for an opportunity to get like a really big starting kicking off event. Not just March Madness, but this is the night that college basketball tips off, and it becomes almost another national holiday type event. Because Friday's Friday. Like, you lose that. Like, people are just going to, like, go out and keep their plans. But if you can do it on a day when the average American's looking forward to coming home and, you know, just sitting on their couch and watching opening college basketball night, I'd love it.
Well, and not only that, but you have people like me who write about basketball. You have TV stations and you have radio stations all Tuesday during the day talking about the big game, the start of the college basketball season, and then Wednesday recapping what happened.
Mm-hmm. You'll still lose
a little bit because, like, you get the recap from Monday Night Football on Tuesday, and you still get, you know, football talk just because it's America and football dominates, but you win so much more than having it on Friday. Nobody talked about Indiana-Kansas because it was old news when it came around to Monday.
Yeah, exactly, because there were so many other games on Saturday, and it's all regionalized.
Well, it was just all football.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It's all football because that's what ESPN's focus is.
Right. Well, and it's just what people know, and then it ends up being that was a top five game last year, I thought.
And you love that game, and
I mean, it was a great game.
And a lot of the times in that Chicago Invitational Classic thing, like, it's entertaining. Like, I'm going to go to that this year, 100%.
Who's in it, or who?
That's a really good question.
Where's it at? Is that United?
It's at the United Center every year. It's right. I know what the dates when it is, but I just don't know who's playing. United Center college basketball tip off. The State Farm Champions Classic. Tuesday, November 14th. So they're doing it on a Tuesday, and that's
Champions Classic is that one that it's Kentucky, Duke, Kansas,
just Michigan State.
That's not always at Chicago. That rotates every year.
It's been in Chicago the last 3 years, I'm pretty sure.
No. Because it's been in Chicago at least once, but it rotates. Like, it's been in Chicago, it's been in Atlanta, it's been in New York. Where else?
I don't know, but I love that event, and I almost think this is what they need to do for that Tuesday is all I'm getting at.
Oh, yeah. That's what they need to do. Like 24 hours of college basketball, that's on a Tuesday. Like, that's because it's all during the workday.
Yeah, and again,
but that's not the start of basketball, so you still lose a little bit.
But that's what I'm saying. It needs to be on the start of basketball,
right?
Because what does the NBA do? They do huge events. They do their best games on what? The biggest holidays. NBA is a huge day.
They've kind of took over Christmas.
They have took over Christmas. Where I'm completely locked in on Christmas to the NBA. I don't know about you.
Oh, for sure. I love it.
And we are not like true like your NBA guru guys, but they're gonna get your casual fan locked in because you got the best names facing off, and now there's all these super teams as well. So everyone's like intrigued on the matchups, and there's good games every Christmas for some reason. Christmas Day unders are a big thing that Big Cat loves.
Yeah, early Christmas Day unders.
Early Christmas Day unders. It's a thing, people. It's a thing.
Speaking of the NBA, we have to talk about it because I will never forget the day Chris Paul was traded.
I like when you tell sad stories.
When I tell sad stories? I'm never going to forget it because I was literally signing my life away buying a house today as I was hearing the news about Chris Paul.
Oh, so it's not necessarily sad to you. It's just one of those, like, the where were you when?
No, yeah, like, I'm just saying I'll never forget where I was.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. It's like, oh, Chris Paul got traded. I can tell you the day it happened. I can tell you the time of the day it happened.
And your photographic memory. You probably were playing shuffleboard with yourself.
I wasn't at the house. I was at the real estate agent.
So that's where you were. Okay, so it wasn't like you were at the house when it happened.
No. But Chris Paul, obviously – everyone's heard by now. If you haven't, congratulations. We're breaking news.
Yes.
Chris Paul traded to Houston for a million different players.
Weird trade.
The hodgepodge of players.
Weird trade, like.
And a first round pick.
Which makes me piss as a Bulls fan, to be honest. Look what the Bulls got for Jimmy Butler. Look what the Clippers got for Chris Paul.
Yeah, well. Yeah, it's.
Yeah, well, what? You have to, like, be like, yeah, you're right. Like, they got hosed.
Oh, right.
They got. Like,
I think I'd much rather have what the Clippers got than what the Bulls got, but it's a weird collection of players that the Clippers got.
Yeah, it's really, really weird. And the Rockets got a bunch of weird shooters that they're signing, too. But what's also weird is James Harden was third in time of possession with the ball, and Chris Paul was seventh. So now you got two different guys who are ball dominant.
Yeah, but we've also seen James Harden play without – like play. We've seen Harden play off the ball at both
– Maybe it will be beneficial for him.
I think it's going to be great. Like, I'm on the opposite of people going, I don't like this fit, I don't like this fit. I think it's going to fit fine because – Chris Paul's still like your quote traditional point guard. It's not like he's coming in and jacking shots. He's going to come in and set up Harden. And Harden can be your bailout guy too late in the shot clock. Like, Harden's more of the shot creator than for himself than Paul is, where Paul will set other people up. The other thing, like, we've seen Harden do this. Like, Harden played off the ball with the Thunder, he's played off the ball with Team USA. Like, Team USA has talent like Chris Paul playing point guard. So it's not, like, a huge jump to move Harden. Like, yes, his numbers will drop.
Fair enough. I'm definitely intrigued still, though. I don't necessarily think it's
a walk
in the park. Like, it's not a match made in heaven.
Right. I'm not saying they're going to beat the Warriors.
No, I know. I know you're not. I'm just saying. I'm really interested to see how it progresses.
It's definitely an interesting tactic because – you know, Harden is one of those is he a point guard? Just because of the way the new era of basketball is you get a lot less Chris Paul's, and you get more of the quote combo guards as your point.
And there was a lot going on with your Knicks. Phil Jackson's finally out.
What a great morning to wake up to there.
Yeah,
you're one third of the way there, man. We're one third of the way.
You definitely have a different mindset right now towards the Knicks. What do you think of them probably going to try and still trade Melo?
I'm a Melo fan. I will stand for Melo a lot more than a lot of other people. I think he might go down as the most underappreciated star of this era.
You've said that before, and I think we've talked about this.
Right, like he's just to me, like he'll always be that guy, like the almost like a Dominique Wilkins type guy, just because he hasn't won the title, hasn't played on great teams, but it's not like he's not the one that signed Joakim Noah to a shitty contract, and things like that. If they can trade him and get something back, great. I'm okay with that because the team should be building around Kristaps. Like, Kristaps is the future. You're not competing now. You're not winning now. Build around Kristaps. Build, you know, Hernan Gomez, and that, you know, maybe Frank works out. All right, you have a little trio there you can build around. So if you get
Did you see the tweet?
Oh, it was fake. That wasn't him. That was a fake account.
Yeah, it wasn't verified. I just didn't do the research.
Yeah, that's not him. Because
gosh, that would have been so legendary. Oh,
he would have been. He would have been the most beloved athlete on the Knicks.
That would have been so legendary if it was true.
But, you know, so it's one of those, if you can get something for him, like, I was kind of hoping you could somehow get, like, a mid-first-round pick for him. But, or some sort of young talent for him. But if you can't,
let him
finish out his career with the Knicks. Like, I'll tell you what. All credit to Melo. He's not forcing his way out. He's not sitting there, like, demanding stuff. He's just going out and playing, and he's living up. Like, he's living to his contract, which so many people say, these guys, contracts are fake. This guy's playing to his contract.
This guy is a guy who very well could be up in arms trying to force a trade.
He could be forcing a buyout. He could be forcing them to release him.
But he hasn't. He's just being a Knick, like, I see him all the time on Instagram, and I hate to be this guy referencing social media, but he's on, like, the House of Highlights working out and looks good. Like, looks really good. Like, he's still got it. And like you said, there's no reason to force him out at this point.
He can still score. Like, that's never going to be a problem. He can still go out and get buckets.
Yeah, I know, but will he ever be able to lead that team to that next level of the playoffs?
Yeah, again, they just – shitty.
I know it's situational. It's not always their fault. I completely agree with that.
Yeah, like if they were loaded and he wasn't, then sure, I think you could put some blame on him there. Or if he was choking in the playoffs or something like that.
He's not playing with Kyrie and Kevin Love and Kevin Durant, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson.
Got a lot of dog shit around him.
Yeah, did he play with Chauncey in Denver?
Yeah, he played with the one year that they were good. Was like Chauncey,
Nene,
JR. I don't remember if Nene was on that team.
All I know is
Kenyon Martin, I think, was on that team.
Yeah, those Denver silky smooth looking blue jerseys.
I had one. I had a Carmelo because I liked them, and I liked the Nuggets jerseys. And I had one of those. I had a before I was here, it was even a Knick. Obviously, I had a Carmelo Denver jersey.
Are you still wearing jerseys nowadays? Are you?
No, my thing now is I like to collect jerseys, and now that I have a man cave, I want to find my favorite player or favorite jersey from number 1 to 99, frame them and put them all around the walls.
Well, this conversation, this podcast is over if I'm not number one.
Well, you got to send me a jersey.
I will.
I'll hang up a jersey. Bring it out with you. I'll frame it and hang it up.
I will, as long as it makes the 1 through 99.
Yeah, like that's like I would love to do something like that.
Are the hockey players going to cover the high numbers or Vladimir Radmanovic?
Football. I think football. You know, you can cover like the 80s pretty easily with football. The 90s.
Yeah, the 60s with some good offensive linemen.
Yeah, the 60s are going to be tough. I like, yeah, the 60s are going to be really tough.
60s are going to be rough. You can find some good hockey players at 99 and 96, right. 97. Some cool, like, defensive ends and stuff.
Right, same thing with, like, 70s. Like, 70s you can find, like, DNs.
Yeah, or some historic, like, historic old football D-tackle, players. Good.
Like
yeah.
That. Right, right. Like, I feel like 70, 71, 72, 73 are all pretty easy. 77, like...
50s, you got linebackers and big
and you
guys.
Said basketball for...
Yeah, you got basketball big guys. 40s, you got some power forwards. 30s, you know, now you're into basketball. 60s, let's try and put this together. I mean, not this moment, because that's it. Like, if you know 10 different players with the jersey numbers 60 through 69. Then holy cow, you don't have a life.
I mean, 67, there's a bunch, because there's a bunch of linemen that wear 67.
No, I hear you, but like nothing should come like that quickly to the top of your head for it.
Right, right. I mean, yeah.
But on the trade, I want to talk about the trade for a second. Like, I feel bad for Decker. He just bought a house in Houston.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. So now he's trying to sell it. Like that. Like that's just brutal.
That sucks.
Could you imagine if, like, you got transferred, like, for your job? Like, it may not be possible, but could you just imagine after you've gone through this process of buying a house?
Oh, it happened to one of my best friend's brother. Like, he had just bought a house, moved in literally within a month to 2 months, got transferred to North Carolina.
That sucks.
And, like he didn't even – luckily, like, they were renting. It was, like, one of those where the owner – the guy that he bought the house from rented it back to him for like 2 months or whatever. And by the time that ended, he got transferred. So the sale didn't even go through technically.
Yeah. And did I see Paul George potentially to Houston too?
That was one of the rumors.
This is a crazy offseason.
This is still like, I said it today to somebody. There's something big's going to happen the next 3 days with the NBA. Like, this is the first domino to fall. Something else is going to fall in the next 3 days.
Like, Blake, maybe?
That's what I'm saying. Something's going to happen. There's going to be another domino.
Yeah, I saw Vecini had a funny tweet. Chicago. Come on, boys! Get in!
Oh, you're ahead of me. You're way ahead of me.
I'm at 104.41 right
now. I just saw the shot just get saved.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you're ahead of
that
me.
That was exciting. Do for the city of Chicago.
No, do it for – come on, FC Cincinnati. Lower tier team? Come on, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, Barstool Sam just tweeted a attendance of 21,000 for the Reds and 33,000 for this game.
It's pretty damn impressive. Like, I was kind of upset I didn't get tickets for it.
Oh, were you trying to go?
I mean, I was so busy today I wouldn't have had a chance. I knew I wasn't going to be able to go. But I was, like, still in the back of my mind. Like, well, if I just get tickets, then Jen can't say no.
Yeah, you know, you can. We would have had to reschedule.
Right, right.
Go!
So it's...
Just messing with you.
Yeah, you are now, because you're way ahead of me. Yeah, so it's going to be an interesting trade, because like I said, there's going to be another domino that falls. The question is, what is it, and when does that domino fall?
Yeah, I think... I'm predicting Blake Griffin. That's my prediction. What is your prediction? Something's going to happen, and you just gotta have put your guy out there.
I don't know who. I think it's going to be somebody off the radar. It's not going to be Griffin. It's not going to be Paul George. It's going to be somebody. It's going to
Would
be somebody.
Would you consider Kevin Love off the radar?
I'm saying it's going to be somebody that we're not talking about.
Really?
Yep.
It's a bold prediction.
It is, but I think something's going to happen like that.
Oh, but what I was saying was Woj dropped a bomb today, and then like immediately after he thanked everyone from the vertical.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like just in the middle of him just dropping news. I love it.
Woj is so good at what he does.
I don't know how you could be that good.
I mean, you just bust ass when you're on your way up and up and make good connections. And, like, people, his sources know, like, A, like, they're not going to get burnt by him.
Yeah, you just gain that trust, and now you're just the master of disguise.
Right, right. And now you just break news whenever you want.
He's that guy.
He's
if you don't follow him, like, and you're a basketball fan, then
right.
You're crazy.
Right.
You're crazy.
You need to follow him and us for all your basketball news.
Correct. Correct. Yeah, anything else in that list over there?
I think that's it. There was one question I did want to.
Yeah, there was a couple Twitter questions. That's right.
Do you want to save them? I liked it because it's not.
Let's save them because they're not time sensitive.
Yeah. So
we'll add, if you're listening, you send questions. We see them. We like them. We're just gonna add them up to spend like 20, 30 minutes doing fan questions next time. We just got caught with some other stuff today.
Yeah, yeah. We'll probably do. I think we did two, three episodes ago where we did nothing but fan questions. We'll do an episode like that again here probably in the next like month or two.
Okay, cool, perfect. I love it.
All right, follow the show. What's the Twitter handle, Ben?
Fundamentally SD.
There it is. Subscribe on iTunes.
Not fundamentally PD like Riggs would say. Fundamentally SD.
I always say fundamentally sound PD.
Yeah.
That's not right.
That's way too long. Fundamentally SD.
Follow that on Twitter.
Say it five times fast.
Fundamentally Subscribe. SD.
Review.
Subscribe on iTunes. Rate on iTunes. Review on iTunes.
Come to Queen City Exchange when we give the date.
Go to Queen City Exchange beforehand too if you live in Cincinnati.
That's true. Let's start. If you are planning on coming, tweet us so we can just start the headcount and prepping some different tables that we can maybe reserve for people we know are coming, and we'll make this a big deal.
Yeah, because it'll probably be like November, December, depending when non-conference schedules are starting to get.
And it will be a fun day. I mean, I totally plan on that Saturday.
Get-togethers are fine. Yeah.
We are gonna be from 11 a.m. first tip off to like West Coast basketball 8 or like 9 Eastern tips. My 11 Central is going to be your 12 Eastern. So the 12 Eastern to 12 Eastern, right. Or 12 Eastern to 12 Eastern, correct. We are going to be betting and enjoying ourselves and drinking very heavily.
Yes, we will.
Queen City Exchange, come, tweet us, let us know. Fundamentally SD.
Tell your friends.
Later.
Somebody, I forget who it was, and I wish I remembered your name, a while back came up with, our listeners should be called the Fundamentalists.
I like it.
I'm calling them out. Let's get
the Fundamentalists. Let's get you out there.
1,000 Twitter followers and 65 reviews on iTunes by the 4th of July. That's not asking for much.
And I'll work with Riggs and Tommy and Ozzy. We'll think of a good giveaway at Queen City.
Shout out to Tommy and Ozzy too.
Yep.
All right.
Always.
Until next time, follow it. Do everything we just said.
All right. That's perfect. See ya.
Similar to the Thriller in Manila. Honeys call me Bigger, the condom filler. Whether it's stiff tongue or stiff dick, Biggie squeeze it to make shit fit. Now check this shit, I got the pack of Rough Riders in the back of the Pathfinder. You know the epilogue by James Todd Smith. I get swift with the lyrical gift. Hit you with the dick, make your kidney shift. Here we go, but I'm not domino. I got the funk flow to make your drawers drop slow. So recognize the dick size in these Calcanai jeans. I wear 13s, know what I mean? I fuck around and hit you with the Hennessy dick. Mess around and go blind, don't get to see shit. The next batter, here to shatter your blatter, it doesn't matter. Skinny or fat or light skin, the black baby, I drop these. Boniqua mommy, screaming, I poppy. I love it when they call me Big Pop, but I only smoke blunts if they roll prop. But look, I got ya caught up with the drunk flow. Fuck Taekwondo, I told a fofo. For niggas getting mad cause they bitch chose me. A big black motherfucker with G, you see. All I do is separate the game from the truth. Big bang boots from the Bronx to Bolivia. Getting physical like Olivia Nuke. Tricks up my click dick all day with no trivia. So give me a hoe, a bankroll and a bag of weed. I'm guaranteed to fuck until I nosebleed. Even if the new man's a certified Mac, you get that H-Town in ya. You want that old thing back?
P-I-E. With some new R-U-L-E. Notorious known for busting in your E-Y-E. Baby, baby. Bitches know they love to hate me. I come, you come, we come with backs and maybe. How close we came to coming together is crazy. How come you witnesses make similar faces? When y'all coming, y'all be crying like I'm killing y'all bitches. I know there's a bigger picture than the